This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
All right, Gene is taking a slight nap.
I was trying
to
sneak it in there before. Yes. What am I going to do?
Unfortunately, no one has provided us with coffee. So,
oh, God.
So he's just nodding out.
God, I need sugar.
Do you?
I need some sugar and some caffeine in that order.
I believe it or not, you know, it has rained enough as far as I'm concerned.
I think so. I agree. Everything is green. Everything is nicely green.
Everything is green, but it is drizzling, and it's absolutely the wrong weekend for rain.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people are disappointed because it's Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
2021.
21, made it.
We're finally breathing a sigh of relief in regard to this COVID nonsense, and it's raining. People want to go to the beach. People want to go to the parks. People want to get out, and they got to do it with an umbrella.
And Michael Frascioni said it's going to be 50s tomorrow.
That's,
but it'll be nice probably on Tuesday,
yeah,
when everybody has to go back to work. It'll be 75.
Well,
we got to give Michael a talking to. Yeah. Change that.
Go in there. And
yeah, what's wrong with you? It's the weekend.
Go in the weather center.
Yeah.
I tried to lead and he locked the door.
Oh. Did he?
Yes, he's hiding under the desk.
You got to smack that.
Yeah, he was watching Les Nessman on
News. Les Nessman?
Yeah. WKRP.
WKRP.
With the Chicken Report.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah.
The truth is, it's still been a fairly busy week, but we've had a lot of last-minute cancellations, which is really frustrating because the way that we run our business is we make books with the people's name on it and the address of the house, and we give them all kinds of goodies in that book, but it's all personalized. And then they call up the night before and say, I'm sorry, we lost the house. We're all upset, but I don't know what to do. And we have to cancel your appointment. And I say, oh, okay. Well, we'll wait to hear from you for the next house.
Yeah.
And then we go rip apart the book and replace all the
pages. Devil horns change on their pictures and everything.
Yeah, you know, we have those erasers in the floor.
And then I have to send out an email telling my guys, don't go to work tomorrow. Because it's not, you know, all the people that called during the week and said, can you do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
I said, no. And now tomorrow, all of a sudden, we're all unemployed.
Yeah. Yep,
and
that's right.
This is the nature of this business right now, is people are poaching out from underneath other people's houses by simply waving a check and saying, hey, I'll give you $60,000 more if, with no contingencies, if we can have the house instead of the people that have it. And it's just a terrible market.
Aren't there any rules out there?
Yeah, there's rules. Nobody's following
them. Sign a contract, does that mean nothing?
Nothing.
There's got to be some sort of sanctions.
It's not that they're signing a contract. What they're doing is they're signing a binder. And the binder allows you to get out of it. And in some towns, they don't even sign a binder. That you don't go to contract until all the inspections and all the testing is over, and then you sign the paperwork. So it's a free-for-all. And it's unfortunate because it really undermines the ability for people to do their due diligence by doing a septic inspection, by having a home inspection, by having an appraisal. Can you imagine spending all the money on a house and then having it appraised in at much less than what you spent? So that the bank doesn't want to give you the mortgage?
Yeah. So that's what's going on a lot?
Yeah. I don't know. I hear people across the country, because it's a seller's market right now, and it'll change.
Oh, yeah.
But because it's a seller's market, people are waiving their contingencies. And so if they don't do their due diligence, they end up, we had no idea the air conditioner wasn't working. And now we have to spend $25,000 putting in new air conditioning, or the heating system doesn't work. Won't that be a surprise when it gets to be warm?
Oh yeah,
cold out and
don't want to be around that.
Or
that
the plumbing
happens.
Is leaking, or there's so many mice in the basement eating the wires that nobody noticed that. And this stuff happens.
This is I don't know if it was always this cutthroat, but it always seemed like a very difficult thing to do would be a real estate person. First of all, you have to do a lot of driving around, though I'm sure people are doing more, you know, visual stuff on their iPhones and everything.
But a lot of video tours are what people are looking at right now. I have somebody that we're doing an inspection for this week who is in Michigan. And so they are, going to watch me do the inspection on their telephone. This is the craziness of this. And when I said to him, you should really get on a plane and come out, he says, I can't find a flight.
Really?
And drive. From Michigan?
It's 10 hours.
Well, that's quite a commitment, 10 hours in each direction.
It's the most expensive purchase you'll make.
Yeah. Maybe.
Isn't that a little commitment?
But my point is that he says he wants to be here, but he can't find a way to get here easily, quickly. And so we're going to do something digitally, which, is going to lose something in translation.
Well,
and also, I don't even know if we'll have Wi-Fi or a good signal to have a conversation.
All pixelated.
That could be humorous, yeah.
In certain parts of Darien and New Canaan, there's no cell service.
Really?
Yeah, you drive down the parkway, it drops immediately in New Canaan because they haven't been willing to put towers in.
Not in my backyard type
never
of thing?
Never in my backyard, Here it is, 2021, and people are still having their cell phones drop out. And we're in a world right now where if the kids didn't have their cell phone for 5 minutes, they would be thinking of suicide.
Yeah.
You'd
be totally lost.
I'm still answering my landline to all of these stupid phone calls that come in. And Sandy talks about killing the landline completely because all we get is scam calls.
Yeah. I get a lot of them, too.
Hi, this is Lindsay from your...
Oh, hi, I'm
God.
Paul.
From the extended car warranty. Yeah. What is with that?
And we see your I love how they say,
could you tell me which car we're talking about?
Yeah.
No.
Is it the Volvo or don't have a Volvo.
We don't have a Volvo. I have new cars and old cars, but the reality is they don't even know what they're calling for. They're just hoping that they can rope someone into an extended car warranty.
Right. Right. And, they don't even say who they are. I mean, sometimes they'll give them their name, but they don't give you a company that's calling you. It's just, hi, I'm Paul, and we see that your car is overdue for an oil change. Well, I'm in a wheelchair and I don't have a car. These guys, they're just insidious. They're just, I look at certain numbers and I know it's a scam. I know it's a... it's the same numbers as the first three numbers to my car, phone.
Mine pops up. It says potential spam.
Mine does. I have
like
those,
that.
Too.
I like that, but I'm still answering the phone. The other one is the Verizon number that says V and 400 numbers after it, and that's going to be spam. But the frustrating part of it is it's impersonal. It's a recording. It is then if you stay on the line for a second or two, it makes a gulping sound, right? It goes gulp like that, and then it switches to some call center where someone obviously from a foreign country identifies himself as Bob.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Bob.
Hi, I'm Buck. Yeah, I'm sure you're Buck. That's right.
Buck naked.
Yeah. Buck naked. Yeah. And... the other one that drives me crazy is the solar people now. The solar people call up, and it's infuriating. Hi, Mr. Gladstone. We understand that you've shown an interest in solar panels on your roof. Have you been in your? Do you own your house? Yes. Is your electric bill more than $120? Yes. Do you have a credit rating over 650? Yes. Are there any trees that are in the way? I'm looking at the Google Earth satellite, and it looks like there's two trees that might be in the way. Are you willing to cut those trees down? No. All right. Well, we would we'll make an appointment for you to sit down with one of our people and blah, 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 blah. Can I put you on hold a second and give you my supervisor? Sure. Then the supervisor comes on and asks the same damn questions again to verify.
Yeah.
Mr. Gladstone, can we verify that you have a credit rating of blah, blah, blah? And do you, do you own the house? And will your wife be at the meeting that we're going to have? Because God knows you can't make a decision on your own.
Oh, God, no.
And then I make an appointment because I'm perfectly willing to listen to these people and hear what the deal is. And then they don't show up for the appointment. Now, is this a company you want walking on your roof?
Yeah, really. Well, if it's a bad roof, that's not probably enough. lead them up the stairs there.
Oh, my God. It's like opening the door to every idiot in the world.
It's so intrusive. You almost have to not go outside.
I'm going to go buy my own solar panels.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them on myself, and I'm not going to charge me the kind of money that they're charging.
I can't believe you let the phone call go as far as you did. Why?
Well, because it's the third time that I've been stood up by companies. I had one company that came out. He explained all the finances. I said, okay. They sent me a contract. I looked at the contract. They sent a guy over who came down from Massachusetts, drove down from Massachusetts, and he flew a drone over my house and said, looks good. We'll be in touch. Gone. I mean, what the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's partially the scariness of the pandemic, but it's just, I guess in that kind of a business or any kind of business now, it's just gotten so, the teeth are coming out now and people are really getting bitten by these guys. I get calls all hours of the day, and that is just really crazy. 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll get a call.
And it'll be the IRS. IRS is calling you. And it's such a bad recording. It's unbelievable. The voice, this is the IRS call.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, what people are falling for this thing?
IRS is a big one.
It's amazing.
I know. But that's civilization now. That's what it is.
The scams that people think up. I think I've said it before. I miss the Nigerian letter that used to come on parchment paper in the mail with the stamps on it and all the rest, asking, telling me that I'm a winner.
or the one who says, "Hi, I'm old and my nephew is stuck in England and I need money to get him home because of this, that." And I'm going, "Well, what are you coming to me for?"
Well, I got one, Grandpa. Hi, Grandpa. I said, "Hi, how are you?" And I'm playing along. And this kid's voice, he tells me, "I had a problem last night, Grandpa." I said, "No one calls me Grandpa. No one calls me Grandpa. What do you actually call me?" Click.
He calls you Click?
He calls me Click.
Yeah.
Hey, Click.
Buck and Click.
No, they know that it's not going to go through. They know that they aren't going to get what they want.
They got to get out to the next call.
They got to go make another call. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we're talking a little bit about scamming today. If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy, they also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949.
And now, here's my dad, Steve Gladstone, on Around the House.
I wonder who that was.
Your daughter. I don't know.
A woman who lives down the street from me now. I open up the door, I walk into the house, and I see her all the time. It's amazing.
She's always there.
We took the grandkid out for dinner the other night with his parents, and it was very nice.
Where did you go?
We went to Zodi's. Michael Zodi's, the 19th hole at the golf course, which is always nice, always informal and nice. And I get to see all of the old timers of Stamford sitting there, all the golfers and all the politicos and the former city employees and stuff. Everybody's playing golf and then having dinner at the 19th hole. It's nice.
You ever played golf?
No.
Miniature golf, anything?
I actually went to Alden's listening, but I actually went to a fancy club. I think it was called the St. Joseph's Club or something like that up in Canada. And one of the other past presidents of the American Society of Home Inspectors, he brought me to the driving range. And we were hitting balls, and I was doing really well. And then he said, let me give you a couple of lessons.
And here you go. Yeah.
And then I couldn't hit the ball at all. I couldn't hit the ball. And I said, you know what? Golf is not for me. Because all I hear all the time from golfers, and Dean is listening, and a couple of other people that play golf, all I hear is how frustrated they are.
Yeah.
That, you know, even when they have a good day, they missed a whole bunch of good shots.
Oh, sure. Who needs that?
I don't know. I can't watch golf. I find that unbelievably boring.
I'm always amazed at the cameraman. Because the guy will swing and hit a ball. It's lost to me. I can't see it.
Yeah.
But these guys are following it. It's like, how do you do that?
There's a homing device.
It's got to be.
It must be.
Baseball's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those guys are pretty talented with the camera work.
Yeah. But
that's why they've got that job.
Right. That's why I'm not here. You know?
Yeah. If it was out of focus all the time, they wouldn't be there.
I'd be aiming in the wrong direction. I don't know. Wrong stadium. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just not focused on, I mean, it would be fun to drive a golf cart around, maybe.
Yeah.
I always wanted a golf cart.
Yeah, well.
I was thinking to myself that, I would retire to one of these little communities that they only drive around in golf carts.
Sure,
and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's my fantasy. I don't seem to be able to retire.
Well, you like what you
I
do.
It's not so much like what I do, but I this whole COVID thing has really messed me up, because what I like to do is travel. What I like to do is get on a plane and go somewhere, go see something, go do something. And this has messed us up big time.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done this show from Ireland. We've done this show from different places where I've called in.
Even your front yard.
I've done it from my front yard. I've done it from my backyard. I don't know if we actually did it from the Galapagos. I don't know if we had internet then, but I may have called in. But I miss that. I miss that terribly. But I don't want to get on a plane and have recycled air, and then have to deal with somebody else who is a vax denier.
Yeah, just what you need.
And I can't go to Canada for another month or so, Alden says, because they still haven't opened up the border. And what a shame, because I want to see those people. I have friends up there. They're still my friends,
but
after all this delay.
Yeah.
I love Canada. I absolutely
Canada's
love
gorgeous.
Canada.
I've been up here a bunch of times.
We have driven all over the Rockies and gone to many different places, and I miss being able to ride around and enjoy it and enjoy our friendships and stuff like that. And we've been talking about maybe going on that Alaska cruise.
And that would be cool.
That would
Well,
it would be
like
cold,
that.
Probably.
But, well, then I'm not going.
But Renee wants to go to Antarctica, and I looked at that trip, and I thought to myself, no, this is more work than I want to do on a vacation. There was a lot of heavy lifting with that one.
Yeah, I have no desire to go to Antarctica or the North Pole. Not for me. I'll take it for granted that they exist.
But I would happily go to Italy again.
Yeah.
There are parts, Costa Rica calls out to me every once in a while. Hawaii sometimes. But there are just places that I would love to go to Scandinavia.
I would too.
I would like to go to Scotland.
Well, then what are we sitting here for?
I don't know.
Tony, take over.
But it's been very difficult. It's been very difficult this year to even think about those things. My wife is plotting something for next year, but I'm not quite sure what. And
no hints at all, huh?
Well, I mean, she's talked about this Alaska cruise, and she's trying to put it together with other people we've gone on cruises with. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But
have you traveled a lot on cruises where you went with friends, and there was some kind of an altercation, or
No, I mean, sometimes they get frustrated with me because I'll go looking for a firehouse somewhere to swap us. We walked for miles in Venice looking for the firehouse, and we finally found it. And I was lucky to get this crazy shirt from a fireman in there, and I gave him something much nicer than what he gave me. And what he gave me, one of the problems when you travel is that. And the Galapagos was, and also the Greek islands were perfect examples of this. When the people tend to be smaller than Americans, you end up with a T-shirt that would fit your kid.
Yeah.
You know? And I generally bring some T-shirts and hats and maybe a couple of sweatshirts, nice embroidered stuff that, people want that are parts of other fire departments because it says nice things. I mean, I've worn my Dublin Fire Brigade sweatshirt that I swapped with a guy in the parking lot of the main fire station in Dublin. He hid behind one of the fire engines and pulled his shirt off and gave it to me, and I gave him one of my sweatshirts. This is a game that firefighters play all around the world, is that we swap stuff.
But that's cool.
It is, but I've worn it so much that it's wearing out at this point. It wasn't new when he gave it to me, but it's one of my favorites. And, I always figure I'll bring a couple of extra things with me that I won't be bringing back, and maybe I'll swap it with it. So in the Galapagos, I got some stuff, and in the Greek islands, I got some stuff, and You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice because you get to meet people that you would not normally meet. And
well, there's a kind of a bond there automatically.
Always,
you know?
Always been a bond. Years ago, there was a booklet that came out annually called The Visiting Fireman. And it used to be, in the old days, if you were a fireman and you were traveling around the country, or even this country, if you stopped at a firehouse and they had sleeping areas, you could crash there.
Really?
And you could swap patches, or you could swap T-shirts, or swap different things. Or you could simply write to those fire stations and say, here's a patch from my department. Can we get a patch from you? And so I have hundreds of patches.
Hundreds.
That I have now given to my firehouse, and they've got them up on a big board upstairs from all the different places that I have written letters to people and swapped patches from all over the world. And, beautiful embroidered patches.
Yeah.
Some that are junky and some that are really extravagant. And it's a really nice collection.
Well, I know police do that, too, with their local sure. or whoever walking in. The patches sure. are on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was fun for a long time. And I kept the letters that I would receive from people. Because at one point I was collecting not only patches, but I was collecting helmets. And so I swapped helmets with some people. But that got really expensive. I mean, a typical fire helmet is more than $400 now. You know, a firefighter.
Wow.
Well, a firefighter's helmet, you know, something they would wear into a fire.
Yeah.
So a New York-style leather helmet is very expensive now. And a lot of them have become plastic, but I have some helmets that are antique helmets from Russia and from England and several different countries that are really pretty neat to look at.
So there are. So you're saying that they still use leather?
Well, no, not all of them. But the preferred hat in New York is the leather style hat.
Oh,
whether
style,
they're actually using leather or not is totally different. But the original helmets were leather. And there are still some characters still wearing the leather helmets.
Just for the good old
well,
days.
The thing with firemen is firemen like to, in their own way, boast that they've been active firemen for a long time. So if the hat is covered with soot, that's like a badge of honor. Okay?
Got it.
If your uniform, if your turnout gear has any singe marks on it, that's like a badge of courage.
Yeah,
A sign,
I was there.
A sign that, yeah. And those of us that have been in real fires over the years, some of us are. Nobody wants to have brand new shiny equipment, except that it's nice to have new equipment. But if something is ripped or torn and patched, that's another sign that you've been active.
That's a good thing.
I gave all my stuff back. I turned it all back in so somebody else could wear it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm an administrator at this point. I'm not really attending fires. One of my friends years ago said to me, "I'm not lugging hose anymore." And that's the way I feel at this point. If I'm pulling hose from one rig to another, I'm going to end up in pain the next day. But I'll direct traffic if they want me to direct traffic. I'll bring oxygen bottles back to the firehouse or whatever. I'll help.
Right.
But
right.
I'm the guy who runs the meetings and signs the checks and deals with administrative things
and robocalls.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I just applied for a grant. I'm hoping that we'll get a grant. I applied for a grant from M&T Bank because we would like to put a sign out front of the firehouse that offers fire prevention messages and notifies the public of different things.
Like events you're talking
about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
but also, nice. You know, change your battery and your smoke detector and create a fire escape plan for your house and stop, drop, and roll. Those kinds of messages, because a lot of people drive by the firehouse And, you know, most kids look at the front of the firehouse and say, oh, look at the fire engines. And if they, you know, if the parents are looking at it, they'll see the fire prevention things. And if we have an open house, we can advertise the open house and stuff like that. And we've never had a sign in the front other than a banner that said volunteers wanted. But banners get old.
Yeah.
They do make outdoor TVs now that you can run a digital tape through.
I've seen
And put different things on it. And they're glare resistant, so you can actually see them even if the sun is shining. So I'm hoping that the grant I applied for, it's not even that much money, but a couple of people have said that they will donate to it, which is nice.
Where is that from? The city, the state, or is it just...
No, I mean, we're just trying to do it privately.
Okay.
Turner River Fire Department got a big grant from someone for fire prevention, and they were able to buy this big sign on a generator. But I understand it's broken, and it hasn't worked for almost a year now, and they can't afford to fix it.
Oh, that's a shame.
And that's a shame, because it's a really nice setup, and it pretty much operates on its own. But I'm just looking, we're talking about less than 10 grand, so it's not a big deal. It's just something that I think would be really nice for the front of the fire station.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see. We'll see. James McGowan Plumbing has offered to pay a little bit towards it. And we'll see how much money, if we get the grant from M&T. I don't want to solicit things unless we actually get the grant, because the grant will help to pay for a big portion
right.
of it.
Right.
But we're going to have to mount it, and we're going to have to, make it attractive.
Take care of it and all that kind of thing, too. Yeah, sure.
But just one of the things I'm working on.
Yeah. A lot easier than putting it on your little train set and going, here's a fireman.
Well, the train set's been kind of on hold, because I have been working on this year's – I have one more day to work on this year's entry for the model railroading
that
contest
annual.
That Walther's has. And I have one more day before I have to submit pictures and all the rest of it. And I've been trying to make it really nice, and I'm not happy with it. And so if I'm not happy with it, it almost doesn't pay it almost doesn't pay to submit it, but I'll probably submit it anyway, just to give people ideas.
When do you get the time to do that?
Night times. I mean, I'll put an hour in every once in a blue moon.
You're like the busiest guy I know.
Yeah, but I don't want to say it's relaxing, but I committed to it, and so the photos have to be in by the last day of the month, which is coming very quickly.
Yes.
And so I'll probably take pictures tonight.
And there's not going to be any mail delivery on Monday?
No, it's all email.
It's all email.
Yeah. As long as it's post, it's dated correctly,
yeah,
that's
fine.
It's a farm. And it's got a grain elevator. I never even saw a grain elevator. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And I created some crops, and I created, I actually, the other day, I cut the bottom off of a container of toner, which was a filthy mess because there was still residual in the container. It looks like a silo. So I cut the bottom off of it, and I put lettering on it and painted it and made it into a silo. But it's actually the toner cartridge from my printer. Okay? And, It actually does look good. But I've been, I'm not happy with the background, and I've been fooling around with all kinds of materials to make dirt roads and all. It's just craziness. I'll show it to you when you're at the house.
Okay.
Time for a break. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we're just kind of wandering this hour.
We're looking for us.
So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys in about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533, 203-540-1533, Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves. And I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class. So 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any, really any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is New England School of Home Inspection.com. New England School of Home Inspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824.
If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
Now here's Steve Gladstone with Around the House.
Matt Beyer.
Wow.
Matt Beyer.
Very neatly done.
Yeah.
Yes. He's very neat, very efficient. Yes. Yep. So he can move on to the next project, right?
Yeah. He used to work with Jim Henson.
No kidding.
Did you know that?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Jim. He was part of that group. All right. We're back. And let me tell you about budget blinds. Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Budget blinds. Who would want budget blinds?
I think everybody.
You think?
I think so.
Everybody with naked windows. Can you imagine? I can't tell you how many houses I go through where I do inspections and there isn't a window treatment in the house except maybe in the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
They like it that way? That was intentional?
Well, I think that window treatments for a number of years have gone out of style. And yet, how foolish is that? If you close the window treatments at night, if you go around the house and you close up things, you know how much money you would save just with heating costs and energy efficiency? And if you get better window treatments, there are improvements that will make your energy savings even greater. Those duet blinds and draperies, it really makes a significant difference if you close them at night, keeping the heat in, keeping the air conditioning in. It's just something that everybody should be thinking about. So if you call Budget Blinds, and their telephone number is 203-580-3362, Andrew Bogdan, and it's Budget Blinds of Greenwich and Stamford and Norwalk and Darien and New Canaan and Rowayton, he will come to your house with his display van. He will show you all the different options that you have available to you. And once you've picked what you want, he will carefully measure the windows and make suggestions whether or not they should go in the window frame or on the window frame, whether you want it to go up or down or both, whether you want to have strings or not. They'll give you all of those options, and he's got all the color cards so that you can pick what colors you want, and all the major manufacturers and the best warranties in the business. So you don't have to worry. And I've known Andrew for years and years. These are companies that are not going to disappear. You're not going to put down money as a deposit and then not get something delivered to you. You know, there's so many scammers out there that you have to be worried about, not have to worry about Budget Blinds. And there's all kinds of deals. You know, you listen to the radio and there's people who will sell you stuff and you have to install it or you have to measure. They do it all for you. And then when the stuff arrives, Victor comes to the house and installs it and cleans up after himself. It couldn't be an easier process. So give them a call at 203-580-3362, 580-3362. And tell them that you heard about it on Around the House.
Okay.
Too bad we can't record that.
We don't have the technology for that. I'm sorry.
It's just too bad I can't repeat that on a regular basis. All right. So we're back. And we are sitting here on this rainy, cold, uncomfortable day.
So what can you do around the house?
This uncomfortable Memorial Day weekend. What am I going to do around the house?
That's, now that it's raining, what are you going to do interiorly, if that is such a word?
Interiorly.
It is now.
Yes.
What am I going to do today? A lot of my projects have taken a backseat to this contest thing, which is going to take up probably the rest of my day today. But I did something interesting outside yesterday while they were mowing the lawn. And that is, I had this decorative table that I think I told you about last week that the wind blew the umbrella over and destroyed it. And it absolutely destroyed the glass top on the table.
Yeah.
And so I went on, it was a Hampton Bay table, which is a Home Depot brand.
It's a big table.
It was a big table. You know, outdoor, wrought, it looks like wrought iron, but it's actually aluminum, with a floral design underneath the glass. Pretty table.
Yeah.
In a beige color, okay? And I think Jamie bought it about 16 years ago for her house. But when she moved to my house, we put it in the backyard with matching chairs and all the rest of it. So the wind took the umbrella, and when it took the umbrella, it smashed the glass. So I went on the internet looking to see what the glass replacement glass might be, because it said Hampton Bay on it, and I thought maybe I could go on that company website and see whether or not I could buy that. Didn't find that, but I found several other companies that sell replacement glass.
Okay.
And so I took careful measurements, went on their website. They showed us how to measure and where the measurements needed to go and this and that. And then I got a price, $700.
Oh, my God.
for the tempered glass replacement that could be wiped out in 2 minutes if there was another windstorm.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, this is stupid. So I took my Sawzall, okay, and I cut the whole center design of this pattern floral design out of the middle of the table. So I cut it was a boat shape, so it was a long table with that kind of bulged out in the middle.
Right.
So
yeah.
I cut the floral design out of the center.
Okay.
So now I have this piece of wrought aluminum that is in the shape of leaves and branches and stuff like that. And what I did is I leaned it against the tree downstairs near my shop, and I spray painted it black. Okay, both sides spray painted black. And then what I did is I mounted it on my shed as a piece of artwork.
Really?
Really. And you know what? It looks pretty good.
Right.
It looks pretty good.
That's inventive.
Yeah. And it saved me, having to take it all to the dump or to the metal reclaimer, where I probably would have gotten a dollar for it.
Yeah.
And now it looks like something you would plant roses up against.
Oh, that's great.
And it looks kind of pretty.
Well, that's great. And I'm sure with the flowers at Sandy and stuff's going to look fantastic.
Originally, I was going to mount it just vertically.
Yeah.
And then I put it on a diagonal. It looked even better. And so I just put 3 screws into it, and that was the end of it. It's mounted on the side of the chicken coop.
Oh, how nice.
And it looks nice. So I'm recycling,
wow,
in a different way. Yeah, it was interesting.
It's aluminum, so it's not.
It's
heavy.
Made for outside. No, it's very light.
Yeah,
And it looks nice, and it was made for outside. And the spray paint will last a long time. And when it doesn't, I'll take it down and respray it.
Right.
So it was interesting.
How clever is that?
Well, it was an idea. That's all.
Well, it was a good one. I mean, you didn't have to schlep it down to the, put it in your truck and do all that stuff. But because that was a nice piece that you had there.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't bad. So the bottom line is, there was a thing in the paper today about we should be moving this country towards a more, I don't know whether cyclical is the right answer, but a circular type of environment where we invent things that can be reused or can be recycled completely, so that we start to eliminate the plastic waste that we create that can't be reused. You know, making plastic bottles that can't be recycled. I don't mean just goes back and you get a nickel, but can be ground up and made into more things.
Yeah.
That we're going to drown in plastic, that we're going to create a world that we can't escape from, that our great grandkids are not going to be able to survive with. So we've got to start thinking about how we can make things in such a way that they can be reused. And there's so many things that we throw away or that we create. When I think about packaging, I can barely get the battery packages open.
Yeah, without severing an arm or something.
I have to use a knife all the time or a scissor to cut open some of these packages. Now, I understand the manufacturer wanting some degree of security.
Right.
But we're so into clear plastic that if the plastic can't be reused after we rip it apart to get it, get the product out, the flashlight or the batteries or the tool or whatever it is, even if it's markers for the kids, it's plastic on top of plastic on top of plastic. And we got to stop this craziness. You know, we stopped McDonald's and Burger King from putting out all these foam containers that couldn't be recycled. Why aren't we doing that with manufactured goods?
I don't know. I was told that, the numbers that tell you what type of plastic it is, I heard that 1 and 2 are the only ones that are recyclable.
Yeah, but as soon as they get dirty, they get thrown into the other pile.
Right.
So if you're not completely cleaning things, and even if you are completely cleaning things, if it comes down the conveyor belt touching something else that's dirty, it's not being recycled. We're kidding ourselves.
Yeah.
So much of this stuff, we should have something in our homes that either cooks the stuff or melts the stuff or grinds the stuff. We should all be doing that kind of stuff.
And the technology is there.
Of course it is.
You know?
There are always going to be people who just simply throw away stuff. I understand that. And that should be the recycled stuff that somebody else is dealing with. But I'm sure that there are ways that we all could be contributing differently and in a better way. And one of the ways is not buying stuff that comes with all that packaging. And I think that more and more manufacturers need to look at, even my tape measures.
Yeah.
They're coming with a clear plastic wrapper and a piece of cardboard that's printed on it. Do we really need it to say tape measure on it?
Not
Probably
for me.
Not. Do we need instructions? How many people out there need instructions on how to read a tape measure?
Yeah, but wasn't there something that Harold mentioned that's at the first part of the tape measure that is there? Remember he was saying that, and he never knew why it was there, but it's there. You know what I'm talking about? Remember that? No.
Well, there are a couple of things with tape measures that the front sometimes has a slot that you can put a pencil in.
Yeah.
Also, it shows you, I'm trying to remember what it was, but maybe he could call in if he was listening.
Yeah, because that's the kind of thing, if maybe they had directions that you would know how to pull it out and put it back in.
Yeah, but we could, our kids look at everything on the internet. Most people don't even read instructions anymore or directions. Because the instructions and directions have become so convoluted in regard to telling us stupid things that we don't need to know.
Right.
Okay? So the clock radio that you get not only has instructions that say don't immerse in water, but it also has it printed on the end of the plug. On
well,
a label.
Blame the trial lawyers for that.
Well,
then.
You can blame whoever you want. The bottom line is we've gotten so much instruction that we don't read it anymore. It used to be if you had good instructions, you could figure out how to program a timer. Now it's so confusing that I have to ask my father to do it because I can't even, and I can read. But I can't focus on all the nonsense that is written in some of these directions. And you and I have had a discussion about directions. Directions are so ridiculous now that even when you want clear instructions, you can't find them. And so when you're building something that comes with instructions, you have to wander through miles and miles of unnecessary stuff in order to get to the necessary stuff. And we've eaten up an hour. How is that possible?
I don't know.
Wow.
Wow. I'm astonished.
This show goes too fast.
Well, coffee time.
All right. I guess we'll be back after the news and the weather. And try not to listen too closely to the weather. It'll just get
don't look outside.
It'll just get you depressed. All right. I'm going to read my email.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
The Republican co-chair of the 9/11 Commission criticizing Republicans who oppose a similar commission for the January riot at the Capitol. Former New Jersey Senator Thomas Kane telling The Guardian the failure to establish the commission is democracy's loss, and some Republicans are afraid of what they'd find out. New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer seems to agree.
But out of fear or fealty to Donald Trump, the Republican minority just prevented the American people from getting the full truth about January 6th. The Republican minority just prevented the Senate from even debating the bill.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the commission would not have uncovered crucial new facts or promoted healing. A tense weekend expected in Oklahoma. Several events planned around Tulsa to mark 100 years since a deadly race massacre. Homeland Security warning white supremacist groups may target the events. This is USA Radio News.
Friends, Mike Lindell is a great supporter of conservative radio, but most of all, he's a man who has invented a great USA product that will help you get a great night's sleep. For over 3 years, I've told you how the MyPillow Premium Pillow has changed my life. I get the best sleep of my life. But more importantly, the pillows don't go flat. You can wash them and dry them as many times as you want. They maintain their shape, and they are made in the USA. Here's the best deal you'll ever get on a MyPillow Premium Pillow. $29.98 for a standard or queen size pillow. King size only $5 more. You're saving $40. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. You can save up to 60% on any MyPillow product when you use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special.
A new COVID variant found in Asia. Vietnam's health minister announcing Saturday it has found a variant that's a hybrid of the UK and Indian variants. This variant said to be much more transmissible, especially in the air, and it replicates itself very quickly. Meanwhile, in the U.S., President Biden saying yesterday we're getting closer to his vaccine goal.
I set an ambitious goal of getting 70% of adult Americans at least one shot by July the 4th. Today, just over a month to go, we're at 62%. 10 states have already reached the 70% milestone.
Biden adds, we're not just saving lives, but getting our lives back as America rebounds from the depths of the pandemic. President Biden's $6 trillion budget proposal released Friday. It prioritizes infrastructure, education, research, public health, paid family leave, and child care. But it does not include a national minimum wage of $15 an hour or a ban on using federal funds for most abortions, a ban in effect since 1976 and known as the Hyde Amendment. This is USA Radio News.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years. Folks, it's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
An update on the man suspected in a deadly mass shooting in California. Here's Wendy King.
The Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office says the suspect in this week's mass shooting at a light rail yard in San Jose had a dozen guns and 20,000 rounds of ammunition at his home. According to police, he set his home on fire as he left for the shooting. On the morning, he opened fire at the San Jose light rail yard where he worked for 9 years. Sam Cassidy was scheduled to have a disciplinary hearing. Some of his co-workers had filed complaints that he had made racist comments. He also bragged in a threatening way to his co-workers about having firearms. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
A Memorial Day weekend tradition is back, and with fans. Here's Tim Berg.
The Indianapolis Motor Speedway will only be at 40% capacity for this year's Indy 500, but it's still set to be the largest crowd for a single event of its kind during the pandemic. NBC's Mike Tirico says fans are thrilled to be back. He tells the story of one man in particular who's grown accustomed to attending every year, but had to get creative when COVID pumped the brakes on everything last year.
One guy didn't want his streak to end, so he went back and watched the prior year's race, thought he could see a tree that would look into the track, went to the folks who own the house, he climbed up in their tree, and he was able to watch the race from there. So he kept his streak alive, and he'll be here back in his seats this year.
That audio courtesy of NBC's Today Show. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
We'll see rain tapering to occasional showers today, breezy and unseasonably chilly with highs around 50. Periods of light rain and drizzle tonight, breezy and cool, middle 40s. Occasional rain, breezy and cool again tomorrow with highs around 55, then becoming partly sunny on Memorial Day Monday, 65 to 70, partly sunny Tuesday near 75. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
I can't believe that it's 9:05. I can't believe it.
I thought it was 9:04. But you're right.
It's 9:06
way
now.
Out, it's 9:06 now. Okay, so can you believe it's 9:06?
I can believe it.
Yeah.
Now
it doesn't, it doesn't feel like 9:06.
First hour just goes by so fast. If you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. We have 55 minutes left.
Yes, and you can be a part of it.
54 minutes left. 53 minutes left.
We
could go on like this for 54
minutes.
52 minutes. 203-661-5051. What are we going to do with all of these immigrant children?
Boy.
Are we going to do with them all?
I thought you were going to say, what are we going to do with all the batteries from electric cars or from hybrid cars?
Oh, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
They'll figure
it out.
Electric
cars have batteries, right, or not?
Tons and tons of batteries.
Yeah, lots
rechargeable
of batteries.
In fact, I'm thinking maybe one of the gifts I'll give myself this year might be having the batteries replaced on the Volt so that I can get another 10 years out of it without having to worry.
What's a new battery on a car like that cost?
I haven't a clue.
Hmm.
If anyone knows, you can call in, 203-661-5051.
Tony's going to
the... I'm going to do a little...
Tony's doing the internet.
Little, yeah.
He's playing Harold here.
Just keep going.
Okay, we'll handle it. Hang on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get back to us.
What is replacement of a Volt battery cost? And the Volt, the battery replacement.
About $10,000, I'm going to guess. Think so?
I don't think it's going to be that much.
No.
Also, they're going to be better batteries.
And they'll last a lot longer.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Not that 10 years hasn't been bad. I mean,
I still,
on a charge, I get about 22, 23 miles. When it's cold and when it's warm, I get about 30 miles before I have to recharge. But remember that car has a gasoline generator.
I was
generator,
just going to say.
So I can go as far as I want as long as there's gas in the car. But at some point, it's going to peter out, so it's not going to be giving me the same kind of charge. But I would buy that car over and over and over again. What a great car that's been.
I like the looks. I was always impressed with the looks.
It's a pretty car.
And yeah, it is.
And you like sports car looking cars.
Yes, I do.
And it definitely is a sports car look.
Yeah,
even though it's a four-seater. It's a four-door, not four-seater.
I mean, look at Volvo, what they've done over the years with their looks.
Aren't they smart?
Yeah, they got a new designer guy years ago, and they made that box into something really cool looking.
I think the electric car, the Volvo electric is going to sell a bunch of cars.
I think so, too.
And I want my wife to go out and test drive a whole bunch of hybrids and electric vehicles right now, because the choice is going to be wonderful. Even the Silverado, and I'm not a Ford guy, but the Silverado next year is going to be all electric.
That's right.
And that's going to change. I mean, so many contractors
they're going to drive that
Ford Silverado, the F-150. It's going to change everything. If GM really follows through with providing pickup trucks and vans and stuff like that.
They'll have to.
The thing is that they should. It's not that they'll have to.
Right.
They should. We need to move in this direction. What's your price?
Well, I've got an article from December of 2019 where they quoted the General Motors CEO, Mary Barra, in January of 2019 stated, her company had thus far never had to replace a battery in any Chevy Volt. Critics jumped on that. Then she said it was 0.01% of all batteries had to be replaced. Anyway, the price varies from $2,000 to $34,000.
Wow.
It appears Volt owners can purchase these batteries fairly inexpensively from third-party distributors. Not clear, however, how much owners would need to pay for installation and other items such as connectors in order to repair their, or maybe replace their batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect that it's all soldered together, or it has something that locks those batteries all together, because they're working in tandem.
I'm guessing it's not like just unplugging them from the terminals and taking them out and putting them in like traditional
although
battery.
Although it certainly could be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, I don't know how hard it would be to get to those batteries, but they were always thought that they would be replaced. So it's got to be somewhat accessible.
Well, they do have plans for, you know, a car. It's one solid piece, and they can lift it up and put the batteries in, and what's coming.
With 3D printing, that's going to happen.
Yep.
Because so much of the car is plastic.
They're doing dyes now. You know, just pour it, make a dye.
Why do you want to replace your battery?
Extend the battery life of that.
Are you finding there's a less efficiency?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I used to get 48 miles to the charge. And now it's less than 30. So there's been a diminishment, but it is not significant because that car is able to burn both battery and gas.
That seems significant. That's almost half. You've gone from 48 to...
But it's 10 years old. I mean, most people don't even keep a car 10 years.
Yeah. What's the owner's manual say,
warranty,
or the manufacturer
warranty,
or anything like that?
Well, the warranty was like 8 years. On the batteries.
So you're past that.
8 to 10 years, something like that.
What's the dealership say? Or
I didn't ask them. Yeah. I haven't asked them. But I will probably ask that question next time I bring it in for service. But the problem with that car is it never needs service.
You're one of the early ones, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Ford, the new one, the F-150, that is, the biggest selling car. It also earns Ford $52 billion just from the truck, from sales of the truck.
$52 billion. If you go across the country, you'll find that in Connecticut and in California, the most popular cars are the electric vehicles. So you see lots and lots of Teslas, lots of Volts, lots of Bolts, and some of the alternatives that are coming out right now. You see tons and tons of SUVs. But when you go across middle America, all you see is trucks.
That's right.
Pickup trucks, vans, utility trucks, sprinters. And that's the marketplace.
Yeah.
If you live in Texas and you don't have a pickup truck, you're not a Texan.
Absolutely.
So
And they're going to sell a zillion of those.
Oh, they will, because I've been waiting for a work truck that's electric.
Well, it has a generator in there that you can plug into.
Well,
and
that's
feed
the
it
thing
to your
is
house.
That if you were using power tools, now granted, a lot of us have gone to battery operated power tools because bringing a generator on the site is not such an easy thing. But we're plugging in an extension cord into a house. I like my plug in tools because they don't run out of battery power. But I also like my battery-operated tools, too, because they give me portability. And sometimes I don't want to waste the time running extension cords out to, my front gate or something.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is the technology with battery-operated stuff has really gotten very good. The 18-volt stuff that I've got for my Milwaukee tools are excellent. My DeWalt battery-operated stuff are excellent. But I'm one of those people who is constantly fixing and doing, and so I value those battery-operated tools. And, to have a battery-operated screwdriver or a battery-operated drywall screw gun, it makes a tremendous difference.
Oh, yeah.
I love having to have a weed whacker and a hedge trimmer.
Well, you know what? We bought an electric electric mower.
Right, yeah.
One of those Go EcoWorks or something like that, EcoWorks. We bought the lawnmower, which came with a battery in it. And so I went out and I went to buy another battery. And what I found is it was less expensive to buy the backpack blower with that battery than it was to just buy the battery alone. So I bought the backpack, and now Sandy has bought a hand blower and a weed whacker that are all electric battery. So we're not buying gasoline for four devices now.
No. Wow.
And that puts me in a funny position because I must have three gas-burning electric weed whackers that I don't use. But I've never, you know, you get really fed up with pulling the start on them and putting fresh gas in it and crap that gets in there that ends up clogging the carburetor. None of that stuff happens with the electric ones.
And the best part about it is when, if you're weed whacking or hedge trimming and the battery starts to run low, it's like, okay, I can't work anymore. Got to go inside, have a beer, that's it.
Honey,
it's over.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I did the best I could.
Got to charge, it's going to take another day to charge.
But the football game is just starting. How interesting.
And this thing is running low.
The thing is that you're not contaminating noise-wise or fume-wise.
Plus, you're not spending all the money on the gas and everything.
Well, that's true. The bottom line is there have been many times where I've put four or five gasoline cans in the back of the pickup and gone to the gas station, and somebody enjoyed the frustration of sitting behind me waiting while I filled all those gas tanks. And then there has never been a time where I didn't get some gas on me. So for the next 2 hours, I smell like gasoline. And you always have to worry about transporting gas.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the bad time to get rear-ended by someone. Static electricity is a concern. So, you know, going to electric battery-operated equipment is like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's very different. And I went around 2 days ago and was just blowing. I climbed up into the peach tree with a ladder, and I culled out half the peaches that were in the tree because there were so many peaches, you know, and they're about the size of a dime maybe, Char said, cull out some of them so that the tree does not waste time working on little crappy peaches. Instead, it will work on making the peaches bigger and, you know, more bite for your buck. If I could eat some of them.
Your squirrels will appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen as many squirrels this year.
Well, they're waiting for the peaches to fill out.
But I got up there and culled out a whole bunch of them, maybe 1,000 of them. That's how many peaches are in this tree. And then I sprayed them the next day. And it was remarkable to me how many peaches were up in that tree.
Wow.
Were they good peaches? Those 1,000?
Were they good that I took down?
No, but yeah. Could you eat them?
Well, no, only at the size of a dime. They're just, buds. They're green.
The squirrels aren't stupid. I mean, they know. They come out.
But I did find some leaves that were curled up that had some eggs on them from some kind of spider or ant or something that ultimately will find the fruit. So I was happy to be spraying the tree.
Mm.
But my wife wouldn't let me spray one of the pear trees because it's too close to the chickens. So she doesn't want to lose any chickens to overspray. Meanwhile, I probably breathe more of that poison than anything else. But, you know, fruit trees really require some care. And now we have a plum, a peach, and two pears.
And so, what was it you were talking about, I think it was last week, there are two different kinds of plums.
Yeah, there's flowering plum trees.
And then fruiting.
And then there's fruiting plum trees.
Yeah.
And what I found was that no one is selling, to any great extent, fruited plum trees because of something called black knot.
Black knot?
Black knot. And black knot is a fungus that grows on plum trees that is like a black, how can I describe it? It almost looks like a walnut that grows on the branches and ends up strangling the tree.
Lovely.
And so I went to several different nurseries trying to find the right plum tree to plant next to the other plum trees so that the pollinators will do their work. And what I found is hardly anyone is carrying plum trees now.
Wow.
In this area because of that disease.
Yeah, I try to spread it all over the place.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House. If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the Window People. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The Window People do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call.
And now here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Thank you, Madison. Thank you. Madison was in an art show last week. We went to the Stamford Town Center, and she had four pieces of her art from school on display with a whole bunch of other kids' art from Stamford High School, and it was very impressive. And Madison's picture of the Stamford Town Center, of the restaurant area of the town center and Barnes & Noble, was the cover sheet of the art exposition.
Wow.
And so
I was
really very proud of her and very excited for her because that, what a nice thing to put in your portfolio.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that what she likes to do? She's heading for that?
She's very, very talented when it comes to, she's been doing portraits of dogs.
Really?
For years.
Drawing or painting? Or
paintings and with acrylics and pen and ink and different things. And she's just right on. You know,
wow.
She's done my dogs and other people's dogs and stuff. She could make a living doing
There's
that.
There's a market for that, huge
there,
market.
There is, because people love their dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a beautiful, Hildy's done that with photographs of dogs, Crane Song photography. She's done that for many years. And people love, especially since dogs don't live as long as we would like them to live sometimes.
Right.
Having portraits of the dogs that you love like children is something that you should think about. And Madison paints them.
Wow.
And they look like the dog, you know.
Where could we see some of these?
When you're at the house, I'll show you.
Okay.
She's really talented. And
does she have online presence?
I don't know. I have not Googled my grandkids.
Yes, portfolio.
Yeah, yeah, well, what I'm hoping is that she'll go to Parsons or FIT or a good art school, because she's really talented. And her picture of the town center restaurant area, which is very colorful, was just really nice. I liked it a lot. And, you know, I have friends that are artists.
Go to the restaurant and say, would you like to buy this?
Half those restaurants have closed. I mean,
what's
going on with the mall is embarrassing. What I said to Sandy, what can we do with this mall? Because Sevilla bought them. Now it's owned by the rug company and furniture company that has a big store there. But they bought the mall from the Taubman.
They bought the
entire mall? Yeah. And I've been to malls across the country and in Canada that have done very interesting things with the mall. One of them created a casino in the mall.
Nice. That's a good idea.
One of them, we saw an FM, AM, and radio station that was broadcasting through glass in the windows of the mall, which would be wonderful.
That would be great.
That people could see us while we're doing the radio
live. Old days.
Yeah. There are malls, and Las Vegas is a perfect example, where they've actually put residences in the mall, so people can rent apartments or buy condominium apartments and live in the mall, which would be interesting for some people.
For teenagers, they live in the mall anyway.
Well, they do, but the thing is that people who work downtown that are paying $3,000 a month to live in some of these high-rises, why wouldn't there be an advantage to having the entire fifth floor of the mall be residential and eat up some of that space with people who need their daily shopping? So they would go to a food store or restaurants within the mall.
It's like Co-op City.
Is it?
Well, it'd be like it, right? Everything's self-contained.
Well, I think that, you know, that was the plan for Levittown. That was the plan for a lot of places, is keep the people close. What Levitt did is he created these little shopping centers and swimming pools and different things that were community-oriented. And I think that the Stamford Town Center is actually, its one disadvantage is it has no windows to the outside. But that could be changed.
I was going to say.
That could be changed.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful building, and it is still quite attractive inside, and has immense parking.
Yeah.
So there could be resident parking. There could be apartments. There could be a lot of things if the city allowed that to happen, and I don't see how they wouldn't. But there could also be recreational things there. We have a go-kart place that is in part of Stamford. There is a trampoline place. There used to be a venue where kids had rides and all kinds of activities, climbing laser tag and stuff like that. You know, an entrepreneur that has some vision and obviously has some money could take some of that square footage and really turn it into something that kids would like to go visit. And then those stores would be vital again.
Right. I know years ago, Pasadena did that. They had this plot of land in downtown Pasadena, and the bottom floor were stores, you know, furniture, all sorts of stuff, you know, like a A&P and all. It wasn't A&P, but, you know, grocery store, huge grocery store. And the top floors were condos. And there was a movie theater. There was plenty of parking.
Sure.
There was every recreational thing, food, what you wanted in one big block area. And that was it.
I think that it takes some creative thought. And it also takes some adjustments on the part of landlords and owners to think about how can we save something that mm-hmm. is downtown Stamford that is going down the tubes slowly as more and more stores close down because the rents are too high or the shoppers are not there. And it took me going to this art thing to realize the void that's in that mall. There's still lots of stores.
They're still operating?
There are still really? Lots of stores in there. But the question is, as fewer and fewer shoppers go in and fewer people get ripped off by the parking.
Oh, yeah.
Because the parking went from you put time in a machine that the next person coming into your spot could see they still had 20 minutes and they could add a dime or two and right. it would add to it, to a machine that's located near the door that as soon as someone pulls out, it becomes another dollar an hour. Yeah. And it's a ripoff. Yeah. It really is. That same space gets paid for over and over and over and over again. And you're going to spend money in that mall. So you kind of feel that you've been taken advantage of even before you get into the mall.
Yeah.
Okay? The fact that I went there on a Sunday and the parking was free was astonishing to me. We put in the number of the space and it said parking is free on Sunday. And I went, whoa! Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this kind of stuff that we try and beat up on consumers all the time. You know, there was music. The Stamford High marching band was playing. There were about six kids that were there playing percussion things. That was really very nice. And the art thing was very nice. And, you know, that mall was very stuck up for a while. When I had the hot tub business and I said to them, can I put a couple of hot tubs in the middle of the mall and, you know, pay you something? Oh, no, we don't want kiosks. Kiosks cheapen the mall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then years later, they had kiosks all over the place any way that they could make money, they would make money.
Yep.
And now probably the only shoppers that go into the mall now are kids who are looking to hang out. So start thinking about what do you do to entertain kids?
Absolutely.
I mean, how brilliant would that be?
Yeah.
You know,
true.
Would the kids line up for laser tag? Would they line up for bowling? Would they line up for any other number of activities?
I mean, you could actually do things that aren't digital with your friends.
Well, even there's probably digital things.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying you don't really need all that, too.
All right. We have a phone caller. Welcome to Around the House. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I just like to reinforce your assessment about parking at the malls. I do not go to shopping centers where they charge for parking unless it's a matter of life and death.
Yeah.
It's that's right.
It's unfortunate because it's like they're hitting you before you even gone
right.
into the store. And how I understand that it's real estate and I understand that it's expensive to own that kind of space. But I really feel that it is an injustice for those stores to, you know, to even making you validate if you go into the restaurant to validate something in order to get free parking for you to go to the restaurant. If you're paying thousands of dollars for rent for a store, they shouldn't make you pay for parking. And Stamford has done it. Greenwich has done it. Almost everywhere you look, there's a parking meter somewhere in order to make money. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong.
Well, it's actually a point of diminishing returns by them instituting policies of that nature. They hurt their economy.
Part of that is, and part of it I understand because what they're trying to do is create more parking spaces for more people. So if they give you a maximum of 2 hours, then you have to go move your car. The truth is we need more parking lots. We need more places. But then they put the meters in the parking places.
Yeah.
It used to be that I could drive the Volt over to certain parking areas and I wouldn't have to pay parking because they were influencing electric vehicles. Now I have to pay. All right? It's the world we live in.
Yes, it is.
It's a psychological effect. By the customer that sees that as not appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, I like to reinforce and emphasize that maybe some of the city, village, town fathers will realize that, and the realtors also.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we always want a nicer, warmer, a downtown type of feeling. I mean, I like Greenwich Avenue. I like I like going to Fairfield, to the center of town. I like Ridgefield. I like the fact that that guy, I never buy the hot dogs that he's selling, but I like Shea, whatever it is in Ridgefield, that they allow the guy to be out there with an umbrella and a hot dog cart.
Stand. Yeah,
yeah,
cart.
I like that. I like it to be
homey.
Homey and
Shea Leonard.
Yeah, right. You know, there are quality of life issues that the more downtown you have, the more friendly it is, the less likely you have graffiti, the less likely you have pickpockets and nasty stuff going on. And, you know, we walk away from a lot of this quality of life stuff. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, my last comment is continue being an advocate.
I try.
We
all right,
do
thank
that.
You.
All right, take
thanks.
Care. Thanks for calling in.
You know, I remember years ago, well, it wasn't that long ago, a municipal leader, not in Connecticut, was talking about the new meters instead of putting it in, you get an hour, and if you don't stay an hour, and how those kiosks that they have now, and he had a kind of glint in his eye like these are real money makers for us. But that was when there's demand for it. Now you're begging people to come to the malls and park.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that, you know, selling telephone cases, selling jewelry, selling
eyeglass, sunshades,
little extras, you know, was perfect for the kiosks. It was perfect. And nobody minds that. You do mind if somebody is spraying perfume in your face. That's right.
And if they're accosting you, you come down,
sure,
walking there, hey, do you need, you know, that kind of
but,
thing.
But it added to the interest. For even art displays and stuff like that, all of those things add to the excitement of going to these places.
Yes.
And so you could understand the kids wanting to hang out where there's more kids. Well, I always liked going to the mall because I'm a people watcher. And it was an opportunity to see what people were wearing and see where people were shopping and see what people were eating and see the slobs that exist. And, and you know, see, you know, people who are attractive and people who are unattractive. And, you know, that's the fun of going to Manhattan.
Well, I'll beg out of that. I'm not a big Manhattan fan.
Well,
but
when you go to Manhattan, you see people dressed for business, and you see people dressed casually, and you see tourists, and you see obvious people from Europe because they're wearing different types of clothing. And it's, you know, if you're a people watcher, you could sit on a street corner somewhere and you could just watch people for hours because it's fascinating.
I have done that. Yeah.
We all have done that.
Yep, I like
and,
doing that.
And so the interest in a mall has got to be the same kind of thing. There, if it becomes a place to go to, it's got to be for a bunch of different reasons. But if you've got a lot of people going there, then it becomes really interesting to go to the mall. What happened with a lot of malls is they started selling only expensive stuff. I would never, I mean, I buy more stuff at Costco, clothing-wise, then I would ever go to Abercrombie and Fitch. I'm not that kind of shopper.
I don't need a brand name. either.
But I mean, when you look at the label, they're all made in foreign countries anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, why am I spending $35 on a pullover T-shirt when I could spend $15? So, and because I'm not that fashion conscious, it doesn't really matter to me. But a lot of people said there's nothing I can afford at the mall. So, to put something on for $50 and bring it down to $30, it's still more than I want to spend on certain things. And we walked over to one of the jewelry stores, and the woman says, let me show you this stuff. It's on sale today. And my wife says, I don't wear what I have. So obviously the woman realized this is not a customer at this point.
Next.
All right, we got to take a break. You're listening to Around the House. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776.
Now back to Steve Gladstone and Around the House.
Thank you. All right, we're back, and we got about 15 more minutes. So if you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. If you want to express your opinion about parking in the mall or parking on the street or electric vehicles or
I have to say,
whatever.
I was in New Haven. I don't know where in New Haven I was. I was meeting some friends for dinner.
Thanks, Dean.
And
he says Sky Mall.
Huh?
At least they're listening.
Oh, good.
They're
Thank
listening.
You. Anyway, need all the help we can.
That's the magazine you're talking about?
Yeah, the magazine that has all those cool things that you never buy.
Right, right. Right. No.
Hammock or Schlemmer is the other
Cut
company.
Your own hair. No,
yeah,
I don't think I'm going to do that. Thank you.
No, a Flobee. You need a Flobee. Yeah.
But the parking meters in there was in that section of New Haven, wherever it was, they have the little thing there for to put your money in, but you can't read it because it's the sun or the lights are in your eyes.
It's
and
digital.
I'm sitting there, standing there, trying to read what it says.
Well, but you know that the meter person is going to read it.
And I said, I can't read what that says. Do I? How much is it, and what do I put in? And I just left it there, and I got a ticket. But I said, oh, thank you. You just could have told me rather than giving me a ticket.
Well, now,
it was really annoying.
Now the meters are smart meters in that you can download an app, and the app will tell you that your meter is expiring, and you better go put more money in it. Or you can simply charge it on your card, and it will advance the meter.
They have that in Boston. You can. So if you're in the theater, you don't have to leave the theater. You can just go click.
How many times in your life have you run down the street from a restaurant or a movie theater or something that you were doing in order to add another two quarters to the parking meter? I mean, we've all done that.
Years ago, that happened to me where I was, I got to get to the meter. I go running out there, and somebody's writing me up a ticket. And I said, I got it. And she goes, yes, you do. Here.
I had good luck once. I was in Boston, and I was parking, and I'm looking at the meter and all that. And a policeman comes over. And I said, how do you work this thing? So he helped me park the car, put the money in. I go, oh, okay, thank you. He said, you can get an app. I said, okay, let's do that. So he helped me out getting the app.
All right.
And then he went on his merry way.
And his merry way.
Yes, he did. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I like that kind of stuff. But boy, you're untethered, but you still are electronically. Yeah.
And Dean says that the technology of parking meters is good for us, but it's better for the guys writing the tickets. It gives them expired spaces, and within a few minutes, they can write you the ticket. So it tells you that space number 3457 is near the end, need of a ticket now.
Yeah.
And so they walk right over to your car instead of having to walk the whole parking lot looking to figure out who's expired or not.
Right.
In some towns, there was a guy who would walk around with a piece of chalk.
And he'd
put a mark on your tire.
Right.
And if he came back in an hour and there was a mark on your tire or on the ground below your tire, he would then write your ticket.
Yeah, we should wipe it off or do something, or move the car up so it's covered.
Bring a little spray bottle with you.
Yeah, we had things done.
Oh, unbelievable. the money. And then you always watch these TV shows where someone is stealing the parking meters, taking the coins out of them.
Yeah.
Half these parking meters now don't have any money in them.
Yeah. It's all digital.
It's all digital. Yeah. Swipe your card here.
Yeah. I love it. Where? I can't read the directions.
I worry about all this swiping, though, with the chip and stuff, Now all you have to do is wave things in front of the gas pump, and that scares the hell out of me. All right, we have a caller. Welcome to Around the House. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. It's Gary calling, and I have to say I hate these malls now. I will not pay for parking. I don't go to the Westchester. I've heard all kinds of interesting things about the new Sono Mall, but I will not go there because they charge for parking as well.
Oh, do they really?
And I had an incident about a year and a half, two years ago, where a friend said, oh, meet us over at the Stanford Mall. We're all going to dinner at the Cheesecake Factory. I said, I don't really want to go to that mall. No, come on and join us.
Right.
So I went there, and I paid for parking as I went in, and then sat down at the table, and it took, forever to get served. And I started to realize that as the food was coming out, my meter was about to expire.
Oh, boy.
So I pulled out my ticket so I could, pay for it with my cell phone or call a number. There was no such thing on there. So I, didn't leave the table because the food was there. Went back to my car maybe 20 minutes after the expiration, and I had a ticket.
Oh, sure. Man.
Sure.
So I then went down to the Stanford Government Center to appeal it.
Right.
They said, you got to fill out this form, which I did. And then they said, no, we can't do it. We've got to schedule you for a hearing.
Schedule you for a hearing?
Yeah. Yes, sure. Because they couldn't waive the ticket. It was a legitimate ticket, supposedly. And I explained, but I tried to extend it, and it wasn't on that ticket. And so I sent in documentation, including the fact that I have often parked over in White Plains for their library and so forth. And those tickets show how you can extend the time, and whereas the Stanford ones didn't. Oh, and what I learned also is that the parking lot is privately owned.
Yes.
But the Stanford police issue the tickets.
Because they get a percentage.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the interesting thing out of all of that was they scheduled my hearing for, I don't know, like 6 months later. It was ridiculous. And I figured that the reason was that they figured people would forget all about that. Well, I didn't. So when my hearing came up, and it was for like 6 o'clock on, you know, June 20th or whatever it was,
right.
I went down there and saw the guard, and he said, "Oh, the parking services is all closed." I said, "Well, I have a hearing schedule." So he goes in and gets somebody, and they come out and they see my form. Bottom line is they cancel that ticket. I didn't have to pay. On my way out, who do I bump into but Mayor Martin? So I started chatting with him, and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I explained the whole thing to him about the parking structure and all that. And his words were, "That place is so screwed up." So
that's a nice endorsement. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. Not the city, though. The city's not screwed up. The city is right on, right?
Well, yeah, I won't get into that.
It's frustrating. The whole thing is frustrating. But, a lot of times they schedule things so that you'll either forget or you'll say to yourself, it's not worth $3 to waste my time.
Right.
And so, and as Kurt Vonnegut used to say, and so it goes. This is the way we build frustration and we eliminate problems. We don't respond quickly. We don't take care of things that should be taken care of. There should be something in the mall that says, okay, this is a legitimate gripe. We'll wipe it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been happy to pay to extend that parking if I could have done it with my phone.
Right. Sure.
I could
absolutely.
Not. Yeah. Now the interesting thing is that in today's Greenwich time, they were saying that in Greenwich, if you have a parking ticket, you can appeal it over the telephone.
Really?
Rather than having to go down in person. So, I mean, you know, it would still be a scheduled meeting,
so
but you don't have to appear in person.
That's good, at least.
The first thing that comes to mind is you'll get a busy signal, then you'll get a recording that says press 3 for appeals, and then your call is very important to us. Please leave your name and address, your name and phone number, and we'll call you back in 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not Greenwich, but I think what they're talking about is that they would have a scheduled hearing, and you call in during that scheduled hearing rather than having to appear in person.
Well, that's something at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And how was the food?
No comment.
Yeah. Well, they're gone. You don't have to worry about
it. It's a lose-lose.
And I think that's why.
No, I don't think that's why. But I think that whenever I would try and go there, I would end up in Plan B because there would be a one-hour wait to get into the Cheesecake Factory.
And the ticket.
It made no sense to me whatsoever because the service was not great, the food was just okay, and it was no surprise when the mall started failing that the Cheesecake Factory would pull out of there because they need lots of people in order to keep that place going. And I always found that some of the other restaurants there were much better fare. I think the Capitol Grill has remained in business because it's just a much better restaurant. But Mitchell's Fish went away, and some of the other restaurants have gone away because they require great numbers of people who are not being very loud about the quality of the food. I mean, why would you? I mean, when you have so many good Chinese restaurants, why would you go to P.F. Chang's? I mean, really?
Yeah, that's a good point.
These franchise restaurants many times are a waste of money.
Yeah. They look nice.
And Stamford and Greenwich are so lucky. We've got so many fine cuisine restaurants that you can have a really nice meal. You don't always have to spend a lot of money, but you can have a nice meal in a lot of different places, a lot of different cuisines, and walk out feeling that, wow, my bill wasn't outrageous.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very lucky here.
Yeah, some I been down in South Norwalk and eating there occasionally.
Sure,
they've got
sure.
really good restaurants as
when
well.
When Sono originally opened up and that whole strip on Washington Street had restaurant after restaurant after restaurant, it was a delight to go there.
Yeah.
Now, some things have changed, but they also have parking behind on that one-way street that I always try and get
was
in
it
the
Haviland,
wrong way.
I
don't
is.
Know what the name of the street is. But you also Isaac have street. To pay for parking there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know.
It's a nice place to walk around, too.
Well, Steve, thank you very much. I have another issue, but it's something that I have to send you with an email because I have photographs. So
okay.
I will do that next couple of days.
All right.
Thank you and have a nice weekend.
All right.
Take care.
You too. Alden says that they can't hear the callers because it's going through my microphone on the Facebook.
Oh, you don't have it plugged in?
I don't have it plugged in.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to have to deal with that next week because we only have five more minutes, so it's not likely that we're going to be able to solve that.
We're new at this. We don't know.
The technology, you know, we were using the telephone plugged in through the board, but we haven't been using the computer plugged in through the board.
Yeah. Did your phone, yeah.
We'll have to think that one through.
Hmm.
Probably could put that in the earphone jack.
You have an earphone jack on your computer?
I think I do. Yes. We'll have to try that next week.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Problem solved.
Sorry about that. All right. Every week we come up with new issues that we have to solve.
It's always putting out fires. How perfect. For firemen.
Yeah. And fixing things around the house.
Absolutely.
Yeah, around my house.
Around the studio.
Okay. I've got ants coming into the window in the kitchen.
Close the window.
Ah, thank you.
Problem
solved.
I'm
telling you,
see, this guy is
so
good.
Smart.
This is so good.
All right. Well, the answer to ants, if you want something definitive, is that product called Terro. T-E-R-R-O.
I was thinking about that.
And you just put a couple of drops on a piece of cardboard, and you let the ants do their thing for a couple of days. Don't
It's in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. It does work.
Don't squash,
it does work, yeah.
Don't squash the ants. Don't kill any of the ants. Just let them feed off the taro, because the way that ants deal with life is they eat stuff, and they bring it back to the colony and feed the colony.
Right.
And what they'll do is they'll eat the taro, and they'll go back and kill the colony. And then suddenly one day, in a couple of days, you'll see there aren't any ants anymore.
Oh, see, I was standing there with a BB gun, but
it didn't
help the kitchen much.
It works.
The temptation is to very quickly kill a couple of hundred ants, but you can't get ahead of it that way.
No.
You can't get
ahead
of
it. T-E-R-O?
Yeah.
T-E-R-R-O.
Two R's.
Comes in a little tiny bottle with a couple of, you know, you put a couple of drops on a piece of cardboard.
I think it comes with cardboard,
maybe.
Actually. It
and
does,
well,
actually, yeah.
This is a special.
Yeah. And it's done.
Okay.
It's done. It's very
good,
effective.
Thank you.
And I suspect that it's the same company, because they seem to be advertising the same as Dynatrap now.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Seriously.
I think a bunch of different products are now under that family.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
they've done
works.
Very well, and I've probably sold thousands of them
I'm
with
sure
no
have.
Commission whatsoever.
Yeah.
I've invited them to come on the radio. I haven't heard from them. I have to call them.
Yeah, especially now. It's this time of year.
It's perfect time for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give them a call.
Especially after the rain.
D-Y-N-A, Dynatrap, works great. I need a couple of bulbs. I got to get some fresh bulbs to go in there.
Dynabulbs.
Okay. Dynabulbs, yeah. All right, guys. We've killed 2 hours. I hope that it's been helpful and fun to listen to. And I hope everybody out there has a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.
Be safe.
Stay safe. If you haven't been vaccinated, go get vaccinated. If you're concerned, go get a COVID test. But stay healthy, stay well, and stay out of the mall. No, I don't believe that. Go to the mall, but protest the parking.